Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
At the beginning, John would like to talk to us for a little while.
Good morning. It's not a very long talk. It's just that everybody probably knows, but they're filming Midsummer Murders in the Village at the moment. And on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of this week, they will be filming next door to the parish rooms. And they're hiring from us the drive in the parish rooms for 3 days. And so it's rather nice to get a little money in, but there won't be any parking, I'm afraid, for the public on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of this week. So if you had been planning to come to the art or Tuesday coffee, I'm afraid it'll be a walk or parking in the village hall if there's room. Thank you.
I'm informed that there will be a test of mobile phones of 4G and 5G at 3 o'clock this afternoon. So if your phone is on, it will ring. I presume, yes, it's switched on. Pardon?
It will ring and vibrate.
So if you're in a public meeting, very wise to turn it off. I hope you've turned it off today. Oh, apparently your hearing aids might receive this message as well. That's terrible. Thank you. Right. Let's begin our service. Notices, they're on your notice sheet, so please read them and take them away. And we now have a prayer for our new vicar. I will say the prayer and you will say the Amen. Gracious God, we approach the final stage of our interregnum. We pray for Samuel, our newly appointed vicar. We thank you for him and his wife Linnea, and we pray that you will bless them as they prepare to make their move to Penn and Tyler's Green. May their ministry among us be fruitful and joyful. Give us grace to grow in faith and love as we prepare to welcome them both. Because we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our Lord. Amen. Take up our sheets. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the day the Lord has made. And our first hymn, Alleluia, Alleluia, give thanks to the living Lord. Number 6. Do be seated. We come to our confession and we confess to God our sins and we receive his forgiveness. Before God, with the people of God, I confess my brokenness to the ways I wound my life, the lives of others, and the life of the world.
May God forgive you, Christ renew you, and the Spirit enable you to dwell in love. Before God, with the people of God, we confess our brokenness to the ways we wound our hearts, the lives of others, and the life of the world.
May God forgive us, Christ renew us, and the Spirit enable us to grow in love. Now we come to the collect. Risen Christ, you filled your disciples with boldness and fresh hope. Strengthen us to proclaim your risen life. And fill us with your peace to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen. Now Jean and Marie will read the Bible to us.
The New Testament reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, beginning to read from verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is the word of the Lord.
The epistle today is from Peter's first letter to the church, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 17. "Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now I sing our first hymn, our next hymn rather. Open our eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. 443. Do be seated. This is a reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, beginning to read at verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find the body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road to Emmaus and open the scriptures to us. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the word of the Lord. In a small theological college, a tutor asked a first-year student to preach in the chapel. The novice worked all night on a sermon, but still came up empty. At the appropriate time, he stood in the pulpit, looking over his brothers and said, "Do you know what I'm going to say?" They all shook their heads. "No," he said, "neither do I. The service has ended. Go in peace." Well, the tutor was very angry. He told the student, "You will preach again tomorrow, and you better have a sermon." Again, the novitiate stayed up all night, but still no sermon. When he stood in the pulpit, he asked, "Do you know what I'm going to say?" All the students nodded, "Yes." Then the preacher said, "Then there's no need to tell you. The service has ended. Go in peace." Now the tutor was livid. "Son, you have one more chance. Preach the gospel tomorrow, or you'll be expelled from the college." Again he worked all night, and the next morning stood before his classmates and asked, "Do you know what I'm going to say?" Half of them said yes, while the other half shook their heads, "No." The novitiate said, "Those who know, tell those who don't know. The service has ended. Go in peace." Amazing, this time, the tutor smiled. He said, "Those who know, tell those who don't know. Today, the gospel has been proclaimed. The service has ended. Go in peace." Luke tells the Easter story. Several women discovered the empty tomb. They'd taken the spices to the tomb on Easter morning to prepare Jesus' body for burial, but instead found themselves confronted by two angels who asked, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here, but is risen." So the women left the tomb and reported the news to the disciples. Their report was not believed. They considered their report nonsense. After all, these were just women. What did they know? Dear. But Peter didn't dismiss their report. Peter ran to the tomb and found it as the woman had described it. The tomb was open. The linen cloths that wrapped Jesus' body were lying there, no longer in use. Peter went home amazed, not sure what to think. Then Luke tells this story of the two disciples on the Emmaus Road. Disciples were walking along from Jerusalem to Emmaus, a distance of about 7 miles. They had been in Jerusalem over the Passover, but it had been a terrible Passover. They were disciples of Jesus and had had the shock of their lives when they learnt that Jesus had been crucified. They could hardly believe it. Jesus tells that they were walking along the dusty road. They were walking along with each other, talking about each other, about things that had happened. One thing had happened, of course, was the crucifixion. The other was the report that the tomb was empty. These two disciples discussed those things as they walked along, trying to make sense out of nonsense. Why would anybody kill Jesus? What had he done wrong? Why would the tomb be empty? Would the authorities hunt down the disciples next? These two disciples must have wondered if their lives were in danger. And then a stranger joined them, a stranger who seemed to know nothing about Jesus. And when they told him, he said, "Foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." And then he went on to teach them the scriptures, scriptures that they had studied since they were children. And he taught them things they'd never heard before. And when they arrived in Emmaus, the disciples asked them to stay for the night. And Jesus joined them at dinner. He sat down at the table with them, took bread and gave thanks. Breaking it, he gave it to them. We recognize those words, don't we? Very much like the words we use in Holy Communion. Jesus took the bread, gave thanks. Breaking it, he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Then Jesus vanished. So even though the night was falling and it was 7 miles to Jerusalem, these two disciples got up from the dinner table, walked back to the city where they could tell the other disciples what they had seen, and found the apostles and the other disciples talking excitedly about Peter, who had seen Jesus. Then Luke concludes the story with these words. He says, "The two related the things that had happened along the way and how Jesus had been known to them by the breaking of the bread." Jesus makes us known to him in the breaking of the bread when we take communion. End of story. It's an unusual story told only by Luke, but it's famous. Google Emmaus Road and you'll get hundreds of hits. When I read the Emmaus story again this year, one of the things that stood out for me was that Jesus picked two minor players for a role in his major story. We know the name of one of them, Cleopas, but we know nothing at all about his companion. Were they buddies? Were they husband and wife? Nobody knows. But in Luke's gospel, Cleopas and his companion were two of the first three people to see the risen Lord. And I don't think that happened by accident. I think that Jesus chose to reveal himself to Cleopas and the unnamed disciple for good reason. Perhaps Jesus wanted to encourage the rest of us, nobody disciples. Most of us are known Christian, unknown Christians once we get a mile or two from the church. And much of the work that we do for Jesus seems pretty minor. We go through our churchy routines. We conduct worship. We teach our children about Jesus. We have youth groups. We have Bible study groups. We help people in need. But we're pretty ordinary We are ordinary Christians doing ordinary things. Nothing earth-shaking, nothing newsworthy. We're not expecting a call this week from the newspaper asking what we plan to do for Sunday. But it was people like us to whom Jesus chose to reveal himself that first Easter afternoon. Perhaps Jesus did that as a way of showing us that he would do most of his work through ordinary disciples, people of ordinary means, people with ordinary jobs, people not very well known, people like you and me. And in fact, that's exactly what has happened during the past 20 centuries. There have been big names in the church, Wesley, Calvin, Luther, just like there were two or three big names among the apostles. For every big name, there have been a million no-name Christians, and most of the church's work has been done by these no-name Christians. That's been true for centuries, and it's still true today. Most church work gets done by people whose names we would not recognize, people like you and me. So we need to hear what people like us, whom Jesus chose as his first disciples. It was people like us to whom the risen Christ revealed himself on Easter afternoon. It was people like us who kept the church going for the past 20 centuries. And it's people like us through whom Christ does most of his work today. Perhaps we also need to remember that the Holy Spirit multiplies the small acts of service that we render in Jesus' name. Perhaps when we get to heaven, God will show us wonder after wonder he's accomplished through our small but faithful service. Perhaps God will show us a life that was changed because of a kind word that we said. Perhaps God will show us a man who became a good husband and father because we taught him well in Tiger Club. Or a woman who became a good wife and mother because we were there for her in the youth group when she was a teenager. Perhaps God will reveal to us after blessing that the blossomed from our ordinary lives and our faithful but ordinary service was known. As a baby of 19 months, Helen Keller suffered an illness that left her deaf and blind. Unable to communicate, she grew up with frustration and rage, but her parents sought help. And the help they found came of a young woman, Anne Sullivan. Anne worked with Helen and helped her to learn a new language through touch. Their breakthrough story is famous. Anne pumped water over Helen's hands and then touched Helen's hands in a pattern that was supposed to mean water. Hands in a pattern that was supposed to mean water. Suddenly, Helen realized for the first time that it would be possible for her to learn words, to communicate. Anne and Helen danced for joy around that water pump. Helen went on to become a famous speaker and writer. She lived a long life and inspired several generations with her accomplishments. She said, "I long to accomplish a great and noble task, but it is my chief duty to accomplish small tasks, as if they were great and noble." Let's ask ourselves, what could we be doing for Jesus? Then do it in the assurance that God will bless our work. He will transform the ordinariness of our work and cause it to flower in ways that we would never have imagined. Let's do it in the assurance that God will bless us too as we give of ourselves. Give a blessing and receive a blessing. That's the way the kingdom of God works. Amen. And now our next hymn, The Head That Once Was Crowned, 531. Please be seated. Deborah will now come and pray for us.
Let us pray. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Lord, we pray this morning that our eyes and our whole beings may be open to the glory of your resurrection and eternal life. When times are hard for us and our way unclear, let us take comfort from the fact that you are walking alongside us on this journey and will be with us always. The sight of you gave energy and courage to the disciples grieving your death. So too, help us to find a fresh way to renew our commitment to you, to feel the life force of the message of Easter, and to take it to a world that is as yet unknowing of your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, you encouraged us through the words of Peter to love one another deeply. but we are all too aware of how the destructive side of our human nature still pits nation against nation and people against people. God of peace and justice, we pray for all those caught up in conflict. Draw near to them in their fear and need, and give discernment and compassion to those with power to make decisions that affect the lives of others. We pray for strength and courage for those seeking to bring relief to the victims of war. We give thanks for those who are delivering medical and other aid in dangerous situations, and for those who are doing what they can to facilitate the plight of refugees. Help us to be generous with our response to the needs of others in these desperate times. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for King Charles as he prepares for the coronation and his public commitment to a life of service to our nation. We ask that you will bless him and those who have authority under him, that they may direct all things wisely and fairly to the honour of your name and the good of your church and people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Here in Penn and Tyler's Green, we look forward to the start of Samuel's ministry with us from June. We pray that you will bless him and Linnea as they prepare to leave Norfolk. May their ministry enable us to grow in faith and love together. In the meantime, we give thanks for the work of Graham, David, Mary, and all those who have assisted them in our churches during the interregnum. We pray that you will continue to guide them as they prepare to become part of a new ministry team with Samuel. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we ask for your comfort for those in need of help at this time. You understand all our petitions, and we know that you are in the midst of our trials. Be with those who are sad, lonely, in pain, or any other distress for their situation. Give us the wisdom to speak or give silent support when needed. From our notice sheet, we bring before you Mervyd Shepherdley, John Watts, Roger Strachan, Christine Nesbitt, Amanda, and Caden, together with their loved ones, and in a moment of silence, anyone else on our heart this morning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are grieving the death of someone dear. We thank you for their lives among us and ask that you send us the comfort of your Holy Spirit and the fellowship of our church family around us as we look together for the coming of your heavenly kingdom and the promise of eternal life. And now we gather up all of our prayers in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Deborah. Now we say the creed, declaring our faith in God. Please stand. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And I offer to him, the Church's one foundation is Jesus Christ her Lord. 525. As we stand, we face each other over the aisle, and we say together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. The grace and the blessing. Living God, your Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of the bread. Open the eyes of our faith that we may see him in all his redeeming work, who is alive and reigns now and forever. Amen. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen. Amen.